Address. Father in heaven, thank you for this time as we can look into your word, but also we can see another one of your marvelous creations and how this just baffles the mind. I just pray that you make this whole time a time of excitement, knowing more about you and learning how great you are. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that even as we remember those who have fallen in the protection of this country and other countries, Lord, we can celebrate you because you give eternal life. Even though we die, we can yet live. And Lord, I thank you for that promise of Scripture. We ask now that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Our creation moment is quite an amazing creation in this world. Starfish. It's a marine animal, and it has generated an immense interest owing to its radial symmetry with five or more arms. The starfish, or sea star, as it's called also, gets its name from the star-shaped body. It may come as a surprise to many that the starfish is not actually a fish. It is, in fact, an echinoderm, I'm getting these words down, belonging to the class of Astrianidea. I should have practiced more. Astroidea. How's that? Okay, I have no idea what that is. Kathy knows what it means. Ask her later. There's about 2,000 species of this marine animal. They're found in every ocean across the world. But they are mostly found in the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Also, starfish are found in shallow waters, but never in fresh water. In the wild, their lifespan extends to about 35 years. Did you know, because they are symmetrical and five-point, just like sea urchins, did you know that? If you have ever encountered a starfish and turned it over, you'll see hundreds of projections on its underside. These are known as tube feet, which serve as two basic functions, one being able to move around in the water, and the other to open up scallops and clams, which they eat very interestingly, how they eat them. An interesting fact about starfish is they have two stomachs. The cardiac stomach can help the starfish engulf food outside its body. And when the cardiac stomach comes back into the body, the food in it is transferred into the pyloric stomach. This is a very interesting thing to me. I'm taking a side note here. I'm not reading now. Wouldn't it be great to have a cardiac stomach instead of takeout? go get the food. You could be sitting in a seat next to somebody and take all their food without them knowing. I thought that's just interesting. But you know, it serves a great purpose, because when the starfish opens up one of those clams or things that it opens up, what it does is it pushes its stomach into the clam shell, because it can't get its mouth into it. So it pushes the stomach into the clam shell, eats everything in the clam, and then the stomach comes back in and lets the clam close. That would be really bad if the clam closed before the stomach comes out. Anyways, that's all size stuff. The sea star normally has 5 arms, most commonly, but there are species that have 10, 20, or even 40 arms. That's just freaky, isn't it? I mean, if you saw that climbing on your bed or something coming up toward you, wouldn't you just freak out? That's just freaky. The starfish has an eye spot at the end of each arm. Although not much detail is seen, the eye spot enables the starfish to see movement and differentiate between light and dark. Most starfish have a spiny or leathery surface, depending on the species, and if you've had a chance to touch one, you know that. In addition, it has no brain. These sea animals do not have a single drop of blood in their body. Guess what? It's a water vascular system. Seawater is pumped into the body through a sieve plate. Amazingly, in case a starfish loses its arm, it's capable of regenerating the same in about a year. This is extremely useful when the sea star feels threatened by a predator, as it can lose an arm and escape. Now, I illustrated this Saturday night, because as you know, starfish do not move fast. So I'm thinking in my mind, when you lose an arm to a predator, and then it's like, now I can escape. I'm getting away now. Is the predator that involved on the arm that it doesn't see the starfish getting away? I'm going. I can't imagine. I just don't understand it. But apparently it works. But did you know also that if the predator doesn't eat the arm up, if it just leaves the arm, it can grow a starfish out of that arm. Now, is that not amazing? And the next question that comes up is, you know, evolutionists would say, you're evolving and you're, you know, getting all these different great things. Why can't we grow an arm back or a toe or a whatever back? And if we get an arm severed, why can't we grow another person out of that arm? And would it look like you or what? You know, and if there was evolution in place, that would be the case, right? We could do this. And also, if evolution were the case, I'd have a stomach that can go and eat my neighbor's food. It just isn't happening. Because starfish were created uniquely. And I think God sits up in heaven and he goes, figure that one out, boys. A female starfish is capable of producing about 1 million eggs at one time. Okay, ladies. And that's the other thing. Why don't now birthing children, why can't it be different? Why can't it just be eggs or, you know, something different without the pain of childbirth? But it's not, because we were uniquely created to do what we do. Well, let me get on. What is the widest starfish? The giant sea star is the widest, reaching 3 feet in diameter. The heaviest starfish reaches about 13 pounds. The smallest starfish is about 1/2 inch. Let's see. And poisonous starfish? Yes, there are. There is one called the crown of thorns. Don't touch. The sun star and the spiny sun star and the leather star are some of them, and they are even deadly to humans. So, That starfish. I'm sure there's a lot more about starfish, but we don't have time for it. That is just one of the most amazing creatures I think we've done in a long while. I've done some pretty amazing ones. But God in His wisdom has created these. And what does it say? He confounds the wise, the foolishness of all these wise people. They're like, yeah, we can figure this out. Well, they've been trying to figure it out for a long time. We were outside last night, and there's fireflies out now. And if you have a chance, you can see them. And that's another one that confounds the wisdom of mankind. How do they do that? Light up things without electricity. It's great. Well, today I want to talk about graduation a little bit, and the things that our graduates, is mostly for our graduates, what I'm going to be saying, but it's for all of us too, because there's things that apply to us as well. When they go to graduation on Saturday, they are going to get a person who will get up and do a commencement speech. And this speaker, I've heard quite a few of them in the years that I've been here in Crandon. And they all say basically the same thing. Now seniors, don't tune them out. But they're basically going to say the same things. They're going to say, set your goals. Set them high. Never give up. Don't give up on your dreams. Dream your dreams. Never forget your roots, though, where you came from. And don't forget to thank your parents and your teachers, as they have an influence on your lives. They're all good things to say. Good things to implement into your lives. But because of our system of government, they can't say the most important thing. The most important thing is God. And I want us to go to Ecclesiastes to emphasize that. Page 1000 in your pew Bibles. If you grab your that pew Bible out of there, page 1000 is the page we're going to. Chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. And we're going to look at the latter part of verse 12. So it would be 12b is what they say in some of the church circles. Chapter 12, 12b through 14. It says, of making many books, there is no end. And much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. The thing here, what they're saying, and remember this is Old Testament, so in the New Testament we get a little more forgiveness on the evil and judgment thing. But for all, purposes, what I'm wanting us to look at is the making of many books. When you go to college, and some of you have been through college, and some of you are maybe still going to college, even as adults, you're going through books and more books. And if you go into our library, you see all kinds of books. They're all over the place. There are many books, and they keep being made. In fact, I wonder to myself many times, what more can anybody say? Is there any more subjects that can be written about that haven't already been written about? I mean, my goodness. The only thing some of you probably have thought about writing a book. I have too. And I thought to myself, what would I write? And I found subjects to write about, but they're already written about. So I'm not that wordy. I think if I wrote a book, it would be very simple. And it would be about maybe 4 pages long. And they probably wouldn't want to sell that kind of a book. We'd have to call it a pamphlet then. But I look at all these books that are written in this, and they keep being written. More and more books. There's no end to them. Solomon was very right about this, even back when he wrote this. And then he says, and much study wearies the body. I remember talking to Jonathan on the phone one time, and it was when he started college in Oshkosh, and he said, man, I started drinking coffee. I said, coffee? You started drinking coffee? What did you do that for? He said, well, I'm studying now, and it's late at night, and I'm tired, and I got to study, and I got to do this and do that. And he said, so I started drinking coffee, and it really helps. Much study wearies the body. You know, you get tired, and you have to take something to help you stay awake. And some are reverting to drugs to do that because it's just wearisome to the body. So now, all has been heard. And the conclusion is this. Fear God. Keep Him as the priority. Number one, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And we're going to talk about education because I don't want to throw it under the bus. But I do want us to understand that without God, the studies and the subjects and all the things that we do amount to nothing. Nothing is going to last. What's going to happen when it's all gone? You know, where are you going to be when everything burns up? You know, we have to understand that all this will be gone one day. It's going to pass away. And then what? Well, the evolutionists, you know, they have an answer. They say that when it's over, it's over. When you die, you're done. There's nothing else. But how do they know that? They can't even tell us that evolution is a fact. They can't even explain where things came from. Oh, they have an answer where things came from. But I like the illustration very well where the individual went up to God, the scientist went up to God, and he said, I can do everything that you do. God says, really? He says, yeah, I can create a little planet, and I can do this, and I can do that. And God says, oh, okay, well, show me. So he started to scoop some dirt up. And God says, whoa, 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 use your own dirt. You see, everything the evolutionists talk about is stuff that's already here. They can't create it out of nothing. And that's exactly what God did. He just said it, and it was. The evolutionists, they have nothing. There's nothing to back them up. There's no facts, no solid evidence to back them up. And yet we have creation. We have this world. We have the Bible. We have Jesus who came to this earth and told us all about it. So who am I going to trust? Am I going to trust the world and what they say and the scientists and what they think and their theories of evolution and theories of whatever? Or am I going to trust the one who told me what it is, and not only that, but promised me? We're going to talk about that in just a little bit too. So are you willing to hang your eternal destiny on those who cannot guarantee a thing? You ever go to a doctor and they tell you something's wrong with you and, you know, this and that, and they say, we can do this surgery and, you know, et cetera, and they tell you about it, and you say, well, can you guarantee that it's going to do what you're telling me? What does the doctor say? There's no way that they're going to guarantee anything. They will not promise you. I've never had a doctor ever say to me, I promise you, you'll be good as new. In fact, I had a knee surgery, and the knee surgery, they repaired my knee. And the doctor, Dr. Derby, a fantastic doctor, by the way, very good at what he does. So I'm not going to diss on doctors. But he repaired my knee. I went back to him sometime later, you know, because I was doing physical therapy and all that kind of thing. And I went back to him, and I bent my knee up. And he said, stop! And I said, why? You said it would be good as new. He said, no, I can't make it like God made it. I repaired it, but it's not that good. I said, now I'm going walking away going, it's not that good. Man, now what? That's good. I can pop on it and everything. But, you know, doctors, they're very skeptical about this, but the Bible tells us that I can have eternal life. It promises me. I want us to go to that scripture, 1861 in your Pew Bible, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, 1861 in your Pew Bible, 1861, 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13. We'll read through 15. 13 through 15. 1 John chapter 5. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So what? So that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz, right? We've heard that song. Some of you younger ones probably have not. No, that's not what it means. It means that as we pray about our salvation, as we pray about our spiritual well-being, God is going to hear us. We know that He's going to answer us. The answer may not be what we want to hear, but He will answer us. He didn't always answer me in the way I wanted to hear it, but He answered me nonetheless. Was it for my good? Yes. Did He lift me up? Yes. Do I have eternal life? Yes, I do. I know I do. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I know, because He told me, that when I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I can know that I have eternal life. And this is the confidence that I have. I can stand before God, no fear. You know, I've talked to quite a few people who are afraid. I've gone to hospitals and other places, and I know I've talked to people that are about to die, and they said, I'm afraid to die. I'm not afraid. If you're afraid to die, something's up. Better check your pulse, your spiritual pulse, and find out why. Do you really believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? He can guarantee that you're going to be in heaven. He's preparing a place for you. John 14 tells us that. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go there to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to get you. I'm telling you this so that you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be worried. He doesn't want us to walk around going, oh man, now what's going to happen? I don't know. You know, oh, that guy might come in and shoot us up. Oh man, you know, what's going to happen now? I don't know. He doesn't want us to be worried. He wants us to be confident. No fear. Because people are afraid in this world. They're afraid of what's going on. They're afraid of ISIS. They're afraid of what our government is doing. And the debt that our nation is in. There's people that are afraid of what's going to happen next. We're afraid for everything. God said, don't be afraid. Stand on me. You know, our graduates need that kind of faith. They need that kind of strength. We need that kind of strength. When you have that knowledge, everything else falls into place. I want us to go to a couple more scriptures, two more before we close it out. Proverbs chapter 1, 9:31 in your Pew Bibles. Proverbs chapter 1, 9:31 in your Pew Bibles. 9:31. One verse, but we're going to be in Proverbs for the second scripture as well. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Look at what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You see, the fear of the Lord, this is the respect, the reverence, the honor of God. The putting Him as number one in my life. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's the fear of the Lord that says, oh man, I got to put you number one. If I don't put you number one, my life is junk. But I'm going to put you as number one. When I put you as number one, that's the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. But we, when we fear the Lord, when we put Him as number one, we embrace it. Because we know that He's guiding us. He's helping us to lead our lives in the way that we should go. Go to chapter 2 in Proverbs. Just two pages maybe for you. Over verses 6 through 15, chapter 2. Look what it says. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. When you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight path to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. This is what God will do if you put Him number one, if you look to Him for the wisdom and the knowledge. Because believe it or not, I think we all know, college is the time when everybody cuts loose. I mean, all of us who've gone to college know what it's like. Study is the last thing on the minds of most guys when they go to college. It's party time. Let's do whatever we're going to do. And you know what it says here? It says that God, you put Him number one. You put the Lord first. And you put Jesus as number one. And He's going to shield you. He's going to guard your course. He's going to keep you out of the path of the wicked. He's going to give you discretion. Hey, come on, let's go do this. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I've known plenty of people who have gotten themselves caught up in those things. And guess what happens? All of a sudden they're in court, maybe even serving some jail time, and then having a record because they did something they just should not have done. Should have stayed out of that path. Should have gone a different direction. Should have listened to that voice. You have Jesus as your Savior, and you have God number one. You are not going to walk that path. Well, you may make mistakes because you're not perfect. But when they teach you things in school, you'll now have a wisdom and an understanding that's beyond what others will have. I remember after I turned my life over to the Lord and I got, you know, really into the Lord and studying His Word and everything, school became easy. All of a sudden it was like, wow, I'm getting A's. I never got A's in school. But all of a sudden, I had a different attitude about it. I understood things, and things absorbed into me a lot better. And I had a discretion that I never had before. You know, when I was in the military, there's a lot of things I did I want to forget. I will not talk about those things, because they're embarrassing. Things I did for the Lord, things I've done for Him, things I've lived my life for the Lord, I will shout it from the top of the roof. From the mountaintop I'll shout it. Because those things I'm proud about. Not proud, you know, in the wrong way, but I'm proud to be God's servant and to do things for Him. Stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all will be well. For the seniors, for those that are graduating, you know, and I forgot to mention Kaylee. She's going to college, going to be a nurse. She's already a CNA, right? Yeah, and going to be a registered nurse, RN. Amazing. How they grow up. I remember 25 years ago, she wasn't even born. Yeah, and now, you know, they're graduating. It's great to be in a community for as long as I've been in the community, to get to know the kids and the parents and just to be able to see them grow up and become adults. But my challenge to all of them as they graduate, they're, yes, going to be 18, or maybe they are 18, and now they're considered adults. I fought that for a long time. I didn't consider myself adult till I was 30. Yeah, thanks a lot. Kathy went like this. All right, you caught me. But you know, when you put the Lord first and you make Him the Lord of your life, man, things get so much easier. It doesn't mean you won't have trials. It doesn't mean things won't come that are hard to get through. But you know what? Praise the Lord that He's there. I forgot to mention Brent too. His tests come out good. He had no damage. They thought that he had a heart attack. Then they're going, oh, I guess you didn't. Well, guess what? The Lord healed that problem. And yeah, he still has a few things that need to be done. But hey, praise the Lord. You know, our bodies, yeah, they're getting older and stuff like that. But God is there. He's going to be there through any trial that you're in. He's going to help you through it. He's going to give you the strength. But you've got to put Him number one. Make Him Lord of your life. So I'm going to close in prayer. I want us to just pray that. Maybe you haven't made Him Lord of your life. So maybe this is the best time to do that. So let's bow our heads and give this to the Lord. Father, I just thank You so much for today. I thank You so much for what You have empowered us with, that You've shown us, that the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, it all surrounds You. It all centers on You. And Lord, without You, we wander around this world without knowing, without understanding. Lord, I pray that not only our seniors, our kids that are graduating will follow the path that You've laid out for them, that they make You number one, that when they get to college, they don't dump You, that they keep You at number one. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that hasn't made You Lord of their lives, Lord, that they would just pray, Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I need You to be the Lord of my life, to lead me, to guide me, to show me everything I need. Because I've made a mess of my life. I'm not following the way I need to go. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the knowledge, and I need it. I need it now. Lord, I pray that You come into my life and fill me with Your Spirit. Make me a new creature. Thank You, Jesus, for that. Lord, I pray now that You would bless all of us as we go our way. Help us to keep You first and foremost in our life. That we never, ever drop You by the wayside. We always realize that we need You to make sense of everything that goes on. Lord, thank You now. And we ask that You would bless the song as we sing it together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This song I chose as three verses. We're going to do three verses of The Solid Rock. And it'll be up on the screen. And I chose this again for our seniors for their graduating because they are now going to have to trust in Jesus, the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's all stand and we'll sing three verses. First, second, and last verse.